Where are my superhero fans? Yes, making noise today. That's fantastic. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being patient as we kind of made room for everybody. Let's start a fight today, all right? That's what Easter's for. So let's get off to a good start. Let's start a fight. Where are my Marvel fans? Yep, I see you. Where are my DC fans? Yeah, always a little smaller group for these days for some reason. Where am I? I don't care because I don't really know the difference. I'm just a fan of superheroes. Yeah, always the largest group. Always the largest. Where am I? I don't really like superheroes or comic books or movies about superheroes. I just don't like fun. Is that okay? Okay. I just want to know where everybody's sitting today so I can kind of target things at the people I need to target them at. There's been a resurgence of interest in superheroes, whether you're Marvel or DC or nobody. There's been this uptick in interest, probably starting, don't mean to offend the DC people, probably starting 2008, May 2nd, which is when the first Iron Man movie with Robert Downey Jr. came out. And it sort of launched this whole new interest, resurgence of superhero following. And at the beginning, these movies sort of, they rolled out one at a time. You had Iron Man, and then you had like a standalone Hulk movie and a standalone Thor movie and a Captain America movie. But what started happening very quickly is all of these individual stories started merging and weaving into other storylines. And you realize that all of these superheroes were kind of fighting the same battles. They were all merging into one story, which is when we had the emergence of the end credit scene or post-credit scene, depending on what you want to call it. It's that little clip at the very end, after the credits have rolled, and there's like one more scene right at the very end. Now, it's not the first time that it had ever been used. It had shown up occasionally here and there as like a point of humor, just a little exclamation point at the end of a couple of movies throughout time. But when it came to the superhero movies, this started becoming a trend. You knew that when the movie ended, it wasn't over. And so the movie ends, it goes black, the credits starts to roll, and nobody moves. Because we know something else is coming. Or if you're like me, the credits start to roll, and you take out your phone, and you Google, is there an end credit at the end of? Because you have never felt so foolish as to have sat through all of the end credits and there's not actually a scene at the end, right? So I always double check, even though this became a pattern, even though you knew it was going to happen, I just double checked for my own embarrassment sake. Is there going to be an end credit scene? And invariably, at the end of all these movies, there was an end credit scene to say something's coming next. You thought this was the end. It looked like the end. This is not the end. There is more that is coming. And so new characters started showing up in these end scenes, right? Different heroes, different timelines started showing. The multiverse gets introduced, which I'm just kind of aside. It's not part of the message. That's when they kind of lost me. Like when you could be dead but not dead, and you could be over there and but also over there, and when you had to subscribe to Disney Plus and watch 14 episodes of some other show so that you understood what this show was about, I'm just not that smart, and I don't have that kind of time. And so they kind of lost me there, but I digress. Superheroes, big fan. I'm all about superheroes. Some of us, before these movies ever got started, we grew up on comic books. We grew up reading these stories. We were Spider-Man. We were Superman at Halloween. We had Batman pajamas. We had Incredible Hulk bedspread and matching curtains. We had Captain Marvel big wheel. Like, superheroes were everything to us. It was our childhood, so it didn't just start in 2008. It's been going for a long time. We're starting today a series called Superheroes. And over the next 4 weeks, this week,
plus three others. Hope you'll come back. This is what we're going to say. We're going to say superheroes aren't that different from us. Superheroes aren't that different from us. Husbands, look at your wife and say, I told you. Told you. Superheroes aren't that different from us. Now, no, you can't fly. Some of us got our first broken bones because we imitated Superman or a Spider-Man and ended up in the ER. Right? Now, you can't fly. You can't jump from one timeline in the multiverse to another timeline in the multiverse. You are not faster than a speeding locomotive. I've seen some of your top-end speeds. It ain't locomotive. Right? Okay, we don't have like physical powers where we can do all of those things, but there are aspects of superheroes that show up in your life and show up in my life. For example, every superhero has an origin story. Every superhero has an origin story. You have an origin story. Every superhero came from somewhere. It's become very interesting to see all of the movies about origin stories. Huge hit. Like, they're making origin stories for everybody and for nobodies. Like, the big heroes and the small heroes and the villains get an origin story. Some characters get multiple conflicting origin stories, which I don't understand that part. But we love origin stories. You have an origin story. Like, your past has brought you a certain path. Your experiences have influenced you in certain ways. We love that information about superheroes because we always want to know what made them them. When did they realize that's who they were? How did they become that? Superheroes all have an origin story. Here's something else about heroes. A hero's story always starts with pain. It always starts with pain. There's always some disappointment. There's some tragedy, there's some brokenness, there is some loss that they are then left to respond to. Every hero you've ever heard about, every hero you've ever thought about starts in pain, loss, brokenness, tragedy. Maybe the most familiar, most well-known origin story is that of Batman, right? He goes to the theater as a child with his parents. They leave the theater, walk out into a back alley. They're confronted by a thief. The thief robs them, ends up shooting, killing both of his parents, and then Batman assumes this identity of wanting to right injustices in the world, to be on the side of good. He takes what was a terrible situation, what was a huge tragedy, and he decides, I want to defend people that are in that same situation. Now, how's that like us? We all have an origin story, and we've all experienced pain. We've all experienced pain to some degree. We have been disappointed by people. We have experienced loss in our life. You have been the victim of injustice in your life. You have been mistreated at times in your life. You have felt pain. Some of you might even say you've experienced tragedy in your life. Every one of us, a part of shaping who we are, a part of making who we are, is we've experienced pain. And if you think, well, maybe that's not so much true for me, then I would suggest the one thing you probably do notice is that there is pain in the world. Like, you look at the world and you know there are losses and tragedies. There is brokenness in the world, and there's something inside of you that says that shouldn't be that way. Somebody should do something about that. Maybe you even question yourself sometimes. Should I do something about that? Maybe you don't feel like you've experienced a lot of pain, but you know there is a lot of pain in the world. There's a lot of brokenness in this world, and somebody needs to do something about it. You're like a superhero. You've experienced pain, but you're also like a superhero in that we all get to decide how we respond to that pain. We all get a choice post-pain, coming out of pain. You and I get to decide, how am I going to react to that? The story of every superhero is, they experienced pain and tragedy and loss, and they decided, I don't want anybody else to experience that. I don't want anybody else to go through what I went through. I'm going to do what I can to prevent hurt and injustice and brokenness and harm in the lives of other people. You get to make that choice to decide, I experienced this growing up. I don't want my kids to experience that. You can be a change agent. That's how you could respond to brokenness. The brokenness you see, the brokenness you feel can motivate you to protect anybody else from experiencing it, to help rescue people who are experiencing that. Now, the interesting thing is the same thing that makes a hero also makes a villain. What are villain origin stories? Villain origin stories are somebody experienced pain and they decided, since I got hurt, I want other people to get hurt. Since I experienced pain, I want to pass that pain along. I experienced negative, hostile emotions from my parents. I internalized that and I'm going to pass that on to my kids. I'm not going to stop that from happening. Heroes and villains are very much the same in that they experience pain. The only question is, what are they going to do with that pain? How are they going to respond to that pain? From one perspective, and I realize there's a lot of ways to look at this story. From one perspective, Easter is a story of pain response. Easter is a story of responding to brokenness, to tragedy, to loss. Easter is not God's origin story. God doesn't have an origin story because he doesn't have an origin. God has always been. Forever and ever, he has existed. Easter is not Jesus' origin story because he's God and he's always existed. He doesn't have an origin because he's eternally existed. But God decided that we would have an origin story. God decided the universe would have an origin. What we experience, space and time, would have a beginning. And the opening line to this origin story is one of the most epic opening lines of all origin stories. It begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God gives space and time a start. God gives matter a start, and in the start, everything was beautiful. God brought beauty out of darkness and chaos. God brought peace out of conflict and tension. And he created a world where everything flourished. Everything was the way it was supposed to be. Everything was at peace. There was no conflict. There was no war. There was no tension. There was no jealousy or anger. There was no war or murder. It was a beautiful, perfect place to live and grow and experience a relationship with God. But this origin story turns quickly on the pivot of pain, because we, as God's creation, we decided that our relationship with him wasn't valuable enough to us for us to live for him, for us to obey him, for us to listen to his direction. Very early on, humans decided, we don't need God. We don't need God to tell us what to do. We don't need God to direct our steps. We can make our own decisions. We can chart our own course. And our relationship with God at that moment was broken. And it wasn't all of creation that decided this. It was only God's highest creation, human beings. We were the only ones with the arrogance to think we know better than God. With the arrogance to think, God doesn't have to tell me what to do. I can do what I want. And thus began disobedience in this world, sin in this world, brokenness between creation and our Creator. Everything else about God's creation acts in accordance with its design, except us. We're the only ones who said, we don't want to be the way God created us to be. We want to be on our own. Now, the Bible frames this moment as Adam and Eve disobeying God as it relates to an apple in a tree in a garden. But you and I have all made the exact same decisions in our lives. Different scenarios, not in the garden, not with an apple, but in your origin story, in my origin story, in our past, leading up to this moment, you and I at various times have decided, God, we don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. God, we don't want you to be over our life. I want to be in charge of my life. God, I don't like the rules that you have, the direction that you have. I want to take charge of my life. We've created that same pain. We've created that same brokenness, not just what happened long ago, but what's happened in all of our lives, every single one of us. The Bible says every single one of us has done this. There's not like some of us in this room who are at a better place, like we did better than everybody else. The Bible's really clear. Every person has broken relationship with their Creator. Now, if this were actually a superhero story, how does a God who creates a universe and is ruling over it, how does he tend to respond in superhero world to his creation that rejects his rule? Not very well. Not so kindly. Not very patiently. People get punished. People perhaps get destroyed. But maybe entire planets get destroyed, and that God rides off and makes another planet. This is not the way the one true God responded to his creation. When there was brokenness in our relationship with him, when we walked away from our relationship to him, God decided to step into that pain and redeem it. And rescue it. He didn't destroy us. He didn't create Earth 2.0. He didn't start over in another universe, in another time. God said, I'm going to do something about their brokenness. God wasn't broken. God wasn't at a loss. We were broken. We had sinned. And God said, I'm going to do something about their brokenness. And his plan was to send himself in his son Jesus. John chapter 3 gives us one of the perhaps most recognizable verses in all of the Bible. John writes, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. God's response to the brokenness you and I created in our own lives, in the world, was not to get rid of us. It was to redeem us. His heart of love, his heart of hope, his heart of compassion, his heart of mercy for us was for him to take our pain and our sorrow in the person of Jesus. Jesus, born of a virgin in a town called Bethlehem, lived his life loving, showing compassion, raising up the outcast, going to the ones left out, seeking out the hurting, seeking out the broken, those that society had rejected. Jesus teaches about a kingdom where love reigned over everything. Forgiveness reigned over everything. A kingdom where the last are first. A kingdom where in order to be great you have to serve. A kingdom where what it looks like to be powerful is to serve the powerless. A completely upside down kingdom for what we experience in this world. And because it was so radically different from this world, he became a threat. Ultimately was hated. And at the end of his life was betrayed, arrested, beaten, and crucified. Luke describes his final moments like this. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. Humanity had finally killed God. the God they had been running from, they had been trying to get away from, the God they had disobeyed, the God they had distanced themselves from, humanity had killed the only example of God they had ever seen. Darkness fell over the earth, and everybody thought the story was over. Roll the end credits, movie's over, didn't end the way we thought it would end. The disciples retreat, afraid that they're next, believing the story's over. This is it. The women who had been close to Jesus, who had been his followers, retreated, fearful, because they thought it was over. But God had an end credit scene. God had another part of the story that nobody else knew was coming. Luke describes it this way: on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And the brokenness and the separated relationship. For 3 days, it looked like the story was over. It looked like humanity would forever be separated from their God by their sin. But God had more to the story. God had something else to say. God wanted to reveal that Jesus had come not just to die, to rise again, to defeat, to conquer death and sin and hell and the grave for those that he loved, for those who had betrayed him, for those who had walked away from him. We read from John 3 earlier. The very next verse says, "Whoever believes in him," this Jesus who lived and died and rose again, "whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Believing, putting our faith in the fact that Christ is God, that Jesus is God who bore our sins, who doesn't force us to pay for our mistakes, but instead in his own body, he took your sin and my sin and hung on the cross until he died and 3 days later rose again. John says, by believing that, by putting your faith in that, your story changes. My story changes because it's no longer my story. It becomes what the story that God is telling through me. Sometimes we look at the painful parts, and we think the painful parts are the end. We look at the painful parts of our lives, and we think, that is my story. That is where my story ends. For 3 days, that's what the disciples thought. They thought, the story ends in pain. The story ends in loss. The story ends in tragedy. God never leaves a story in tragedy. God never leaves a story in brokenness. God never leaves a story in loss. 3 days later, God brought Jesus back from the grave to say the story is not over. The same is true for your life. Like, by putting your faith in Christ, your story gets a new ending. The way it started doesn't have to be the way it ends. What happened in your past, where you find yourself today, doesn't have to be the end of the story. Through Christ, God is writing a new story in you. And your pain and your loss may eventually be one of the greatest parts of the story. See, the point of our greatest pain can become the place of our greatest power. The point of our greatest pain, when we look at it through the lens of God's redemption and God's rescue and God's love and God's mercy, the place of our greatest pain can become the point of our greatest power, our greatest victory. Paul says this at one point. He said, when I see my weakness, that's when I begin to understand God's strength. When I see my brokenness, when I see my need for a Savior, when I see how much I need God, that's when I begin to discover His power. For 3 days, the disciples looked at the death of Jesus and thought, this is the place of pain. This is the ultimate loss. The story ends in tragedy, but looking back, we know that place of pain was the point of God demonstrating His greatest power over sin, over death, over hell, over anything you've ever done in your past, over any disobedience that you have, over any shame that comes after you. God's power was demonstrated that first Easter to set you free. This is how much God loves you. This is how much God desires to enter into your origin story, your present story, and your future story. See, if you've put your faith in Jesus, when people tell your origin story, they don't stop at the pain. They won't stop at the loss. They won't stop at all of the times you messed up. They won't stop at all of the times someone hurt you. They won't stop at all of the times you were wronged in this life. No, they're going to tell a story of God's redemption and God's grace and how He brought you through even the worst of circumstances to give you a better story. Your origin story doesn't have to be your future story. God has an end credit scene for everybody. Redemption for everybody who will turn to Him. And not just our salvation. Our greatest need is to be forgiven and saved from our sins. Our greatest need is to be set free from our rebellion against God through the death of Jesus. But you walk through pain beyond that too. In every sorrow, in every brokenness, in every tragedy, we have a God that wants to write more story for you. Like, I don't know where everybody who's here today comes from. I just know that some of you come from places of hurt and pain and brokenness. And maybe you've been treated unjustly. Maybe you've treated others unjustly. Maybe you have been wronged by other people, disappointed, let down. God's story for you doesn't end in the pain. It doesn't end in the brokenness. He has another story for you, a better story for you, a greater ending for you because of His Son, Jesus. Now, here's the thing. You get to decide. You get to decide what you do with that next story. You get to decide whether to step into that or not. You get to decide whether to believe, to put your faith in Jesus, to receive His forgiveness. You get to decide whether you will respond to pain with God's goodness and love and hope and future, or whether you're going to stay in the middle of it. You get to decide that. You get to be a part of that. You get to decide whether to believe that Jesus is who He claims to be. That this is not just a day to come to church. This is the day that changes everything. That Jesus is God's Son who lived and died and rose again for you. You have a decision to make with that information. And my guess is when the room is this full, there are people deciding both ways today. There are some who are resisting this again. Maybe it's not the first time you've resisted it. Maybe you've heard this story, you know this story, you have felt God prompting you, and once again, you're sitting in a chair saying, not for me. Not going to let this get to me. Not going to believe this. Just want to get out of here. I know. There is that tension.
there are some who are stiff-arming the work of God in your life. God wants to rewrite your story. God wants to give you a better story. God wants to offer you forgiveness and life and hope and eternity. And there are some, and right now that tension is, don't want to respond. But in the room today, there are some, and you're ready. You're ready for your past to no longer dictate your future. You're ready for what was broken to get a new story and a new start and a new way in the person of Jesus. There's some who are ready. You are ready to let God enter the hard places of your life, the tragic places of your life, the losses of your life, your sin and disobedience, and for God to bring forgiveness, for God to bring life through the person of Jesus who took your sins to a cross to set you free. What would be better than to put your faith in Jesus, Easter 2024, a day you'll never forget, a day that will change the rest of your story forever. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He's done all the work. He's done everything necessary for you to come into relationship with him and have a better story. Don't wait. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just want to ask for a response from a couple of groups. And the first group is, if you're here today and you are in the middle of some struggle, some pain, some loss, some tension, and you want to believe, you want to declare, God's not done with this story yet, can pray for me. I believe that God is not going to leave me here. I believe God has more for me. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Like, I am in the middle of the struggle and the tension. Thank you. I am in the middle of the loss. Yes, thank you. I am in the middle of the hurt, but I do not believe this is where the story ends. I believe there's more. Thank you. You could put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. And I just wonder if there's anybody here that today, for the first time, you want to say, I want to put my faith in Christ. Today, I want to leave my sin. I want to put my faith in Christ. I want to follow him. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Another hand. Thank you. This is the day. Just say to him, I know that I've sinned. I know that I've disobeyed God, but that's not the end of the story. I believe Jesus died in my place and rose again. I invite him to take charge of my life today. And Christ comes in. Christ is with you forever and ever and ever. Your sins are gone. You are forgiven. A whole new life starts today. A whole new purpose starts today. A whole new direction starts in your life today. God, I pray across this room for those who raised their hand, who said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to commit my life to Jesus. It is real. It is real. Don't let them doubt it when they leave this building. You have come into their life. God, I pray that they would begin to sense your hand writing a new, fresh, glorious story in their life, one of forgiveness and grace and love and power in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those who raised their hand and said, I'm right in the middle of struggle. I'm right in the middle of tension. I'm right in the middle of hurt and loss. Thank you for them being honest. Remind them today you're still writing. You got another scene coming. You've got another story coming. You have not abandoned them in the hard place. You did not abandon your son in the grave, and you will not abandon us in the struggles we face in this life. For we have been redeemed. We have been set free in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.